Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We've begun to look into the story of Daniel and into the prophecy which Daniel brings in a time of conflict, in a time of tremendous economic deprivation. We see a man and those who are closest to him, who love the same God that he loves, the way that God amazingly sustains them and strengthens them. They've come into the sort of orbit and life and circle of the king, one of the most famous kings of history, Nebuchadnezzar. And we read in chapter 2 that Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. Now, he wasn't, of course, the only one to have dreams, but some of his dreams were incredibly significant. They were significant because as the prophecy unfolds, we recognize that it's about authority, it's about dynasties, it's about kingdoms coming and kingdoms going. God, in fact, is very much in these dreams. Now, you can't jump to the conclusion that God is in every dream, but certainly God does speak through dreams. Much earlier in the Bible, you have the story of Joseph and how the Pharaoh was having dreams, and it befell the man of God to bring revelation and understanding there. Well, when Nebuchadnezzar has the dreams that he's having and he's really upset and troubled, he's so frustrated that he wants to know, you know, what the dream was, and I want to know what it means. And somehow it gets to him in such a big way that he gets really angry. He talks about his astrologers, "I'll cut you in pieces. Your houses will be turned to piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you'll receive gifts, rewards, and great honour." Well, they want to try and do their best. Their lives are at stake. Their livelihoods are at stake. Their families are at stake. Their whole situation. But in the end, they conclude, they says, there's no one on earth who can do what the king has asked. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. And the king is angry. He's going to order the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. The decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. So the whole lot are going to be up for ruthless judgment. And when this news reached Daniel, he goes into the king. He asks to be able to speak to the king so that he might interpret the dream for him. Daniel returns, and he is looking to God for revelation. What is this dream all about? What is it trying to say? Now Daniel, from the beginning, is going to plead the character and the greatness of his God. He has a song of praise. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He's really giving a great, great vote for his God. And, he begins to interpret the dream. And he begins to just make the point. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, the revealer of mysteries. And basically, Daniel describes a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue. And he describes it in detail, and he says, "The God of heaven has given you dominion, power, and might, and glory, and your kingdom has been a great kingdom." But the statue is describing different stages of rule in history. And this is what it's all about. Nebuchadnezzar, you've had a big part to play in the purposes of God. but in the fullness of time other kingdoms are going to come. Well, the king is so pleased that Daniel has brought to mind the dream. He honours him. He gives him great authority. But the danger's not over, as we shall see in a future chapter. We're going to have to stop there. I'm going to invite my good friend Patrick, after we've heard some worship, to help us talk through some of the issues of Daniel chapter 2.
Like the sound of many waters is the praise from your sons and daughters. Hear it rising from your people. It's our worship, it's our heart's call. Like the sound of many waters is the praise from your sons and daughters. Rising from your people, it's our worship, it's our heart's call, and all I want is you.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look at Daniel chapter 2, where Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It's interesting, isn't it, Richard, because Nebuchadnezzar was not just asking what the dream meant, but what it actually was. Quite a tall order, really.
Well, yes, that's exactly right, that he knows he's had a dream, and he knows the dream has disturbed him, but perhaps he's so almost paralysed with the just the wonder, the overwhelming sense of the dream, that the detail has just escaped him. Mm. So he really is asking for his wise men to do an amazing thing.
Well, it's certainly a test, isn't it? He puts them to the test, and they fail the test because they can't do it.
That's right.
So Daniel comes along. He doesn't seem to be fazed by this at all. He says what the dream was, and he explains the meaning of it. Now, how close do you have to be to God in order to have that sense of understanding? Was it up to Daniel?
Well, I think that Daniel clearly was someone who walked with God. He was someone who listened to God. And we can say that Daniel had been raised up for this very purpose. That when a pagan king whose sort of anger is going to spill over and just kill anybody, everybody, it's just so aggressive and so ruthless. And God has been preparing a man who will speak truth to this king on a level that he's never, ever had before. Everyone was terrified of him. They wouldn't want to say anything to him. But Daniel has humility but courage to say, King, I believe there is a God in heaven. And that's his strength. He doesn't talk about him. I've got the answer to this, King. He starts to talk about his God. He boasts about his God and the greatness of his God.
By the end of this chapter, then, the king has placed Daniel in a high position. And I'm just thinking about how Daniel's circumstances have changed. He must have been, in a way, quite low when he was captured and brought in and put into this situation, having no idea what would come. And I just wonder, what does that say to us about our circumstances? That, you know, time can go by and things can be quite difficult, but God may have a bigger plan.
Well, certainly God always has a plan, and very often our attitude is what will embrace that plan or push it away from us. It's not the circumstances. God can overcome any and every circumstance, but overcoming an attitude of feeling resentful, feeling angry, feeling hurt, feeling bitter, those are much more difficult things to overcome. But Daniel didn't seem to have that problem.
We never see that as we read through this. There's no sense of resentment or disappointment or anger or anything like that, is there?
No. He's hanging on to God, and he's not blaming God. He perhaps recognises the people's sin has brought about this judgment from God, and maybe even would go as far as to say we deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, we brought this on ourselves. So a very different attitude.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the story of Daniel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.